Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com.
I climbed into the hills. This was where I was meant to be.
I want to talk to you about something that some would say is fictional, but you would say, hold up, we don't know for certain, and that's Bigfoot.
Everybody talks to me about... I'm romantic. I would like Bigfoot to exist. I've met people who swear they've seen Bigfoot. And I think the interesting thing is every single continent, there is an equivalent of Bigfoot or Sasquatch. There's the Yeti, there's the Yari in Australia, there's the Chinese wild man, and on and on and on. And, you know, I've had stories from people who, you have to believe them. So there's something, I don't know what it is. I'm always open-minded.
What about other mythological creatures, like the, or supposedly mythological, I guess I should say, like the Loch Ness Monster?
Loch Ness Monster obviously doesn't exist.
Alien beings.
I climbed into the hills. This was where I was meant to be.
I want to talk to you about something that some would say is fictional, but you would say, hold up, we don't know for certain, and that's Bigfoot.
Everybody talks to me about... I'm romantic. I would like Bigfoot to exist. I've met people who swear they've seen Bigfoot. And I think the interesting thing is every single continent, there is an equivalent of Bigfoot or Sasquatch. There's the Yeti, there's the Yari in Australia, there's the Chinese wild man, and on and on and on. And, you know, I've had stories from people who... You have to believe them. So there's something, I don't know what it is. I'm always open-minded.
What about other mythological creatures, like the... Or supposedly mythological, I guess I should say, like the Loch Ness Monster?
Loch Ness Monster obviously doesn't exist.
Alien beings, do you think we're alone in this universe?
I don't. I think that it doesn't make sense to think we're the only intelligent form of life. This wall that was built between us, we're just the only really intelligent, capable of this, that, and the other. Difference in kind between us and the other animals, that wall is broken down, and the chimps helped to break it down.
Do you think there is a possibility that people will start to actually regard chimpanzees with, give them more agency and more personhood?
That's actually happening. In fact, there's something going on right now where two chimpanzees in Angola are being brought into DRC, to a sanctuary, into Congo Brazzaville. And there's talk of them getting passports. And that would be a first, and that would really make a statement. People say, oh, we can't give human rights to chimps. Of course you can't. And it's not something I push, because we've signed Bill of Rights, human rights, and everywhere around the world, every day, that is violated. You know, so people are fighting for chimps to get certain rights, like freedom from torture, which was certainly helpful in the chimps coming out of medical research.
I read something you said about, you were talking about how zoos can do a lot of damage to wildlife. And one that stood out to me was a mainstay of many zoos, which is the elephant. Why did that animal come to mind when you were naming animals that should never be in zoos?
Because they don't take into account the fact that elephants are highly social. They have bonds between family members that can last a lifetime of, you know, up to 60 years. And they grieve the death, and they have these amazing memories, and highly intelligent. And so often elephants are being kept shackled. They get terrible bone diseases from standing on concrete. And, you know, okay, it's getting better, but they shouldn't be in zoos. They just shouldn't, nor should whales and dolphins.
You have idle thoughts or daydreams and you're not maybe thinking about anything in particular, do chimpanzees come up in your mind just as much as any person you've met? Do the chimpanzees have that equal footing or not?
No, not really. Chimps are so like us that there's some chimps that you really, really like and some that you really dislike. Just as are our people. I mean, they're just so like us. Whereas other animals, they're less like us, but you don't have the same tendency to say, I really dislike that one.
This is episode 5 of Murky Chronicles. I'm Dayfula the Butcher Dabashi.
And I am Kenny Roberts.
And also we have back for part 2 of Bigfoot Encounters, Randy the Pimp Taylor.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening.
So how's Thanks your, for being on the show.
How's your shoulder recovering, Pimp?
Oh, well, week 2 is just flown by like week 1 did, you know. When you're pretty well medicated, you're not going anywhere, doing anything, you know, but it's hurting, man. I'm exercising it at home. They give me some things to work on. I go see my doctor on Tuesday, get my physical therapy referral, and then I'm ready to hit it, man. You both know me. They're gonna have to kind of like hold me back, man, because, you know,
and then
I'm a pimp.
And then before right. you know it, you'll be in the gym hanging and banging.
Well, that's my goal, man. They're already busting my balls at the gym, man. Taking to see how much weight I'm going to gain sitting my ass on the couch and everything, man. So I told them that I'm going to be shredded, man. I'm going to be shredded when I come back. So, man, how are we all doing, man? I've been waiting all week to get at this, man.
That's good. Well, so, you know, Kenny's camping right now. He might be having some Bigfoot encounters after the show or maybe during the show.
That's what I'm going to. They're probably gathering around right now.
I'm looking.
They're gathering around right now listening to what's going on, man.
That's right. I hope so.
Wait.
Yeah,
hey,
so.
Hey, shout out to Sasquatch out there. Hoo-yah! In case they have some devices listening to us, we want to give them a shout out. And hey, maybe they'll abduct Kenny and he could give us a probing story.
Man. Oh, get it, man. That was a road story. That was like in my third book for adults only, man. Maturity is only. There we go, man.
You might have to put a chapter. You might have to put a chapter in there about Kenny's encounter.
I mean, my video book.
My third book is just a video book, man. No, man. So, man, I'm excited, man. And Kenny, you're right out there in the wilderness. I guarantee you, man, you will experience something tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. We're out in the Sawtooth Mountains, outside of the Boise area. Nothing like the Cascades, but, you know, that's what we got down here in Idaho. So I'm hoping I encounter something tonight.
Well, you never know. Yeah. Man, they adapt, man. You know, they adapt to where they're at.
Hopefully something goes on, you know. Last time we were here, my dog, he got spooked a few times, but I didn't really, I didn't catch nothing. So, I mean, we'll see.
Do you have a recording device, audio or video or something handy just in case, you know?
You know what? Besides my phone, no, I didn't bring anything. But next time I'll bring my GoPro and, set up something.
Your phone will be good enough, man. Yeah. Just have it ready and, you know, click on that sumbitch.
Right.
You know, or better, yeah, man, just leave something running while you're sleeping at night, man, because that's when they do their creeping is when you're doing your sleeping.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's if you're able to sleep, man. So, you know, that gives that than some of the situations that I've been around. You know, like some of the stories I've told before. You know, that's when they do. They come out that dusk, man. That's when I've always experienced them, that dusk and throughout the evening. You know, so.
Have you ever went to sleep and Have you ever went to sleep and had a feeling that something's watching you?
Oh yeah. I guarantee you, man. Like I said, all my years out of my grandparents did not make it through one entire night, not once. Because I knew something was in the bushes watching us. Even when we were in the tent, we could hear things. You could hear the breathing. You know, when we were in the camper, when he was shaking the camper, but just, you just knew you were being watched. And that's a good prelude into the first story I wanted to tell you guys. I'll just jump right into it about being watched. Okay, I'm this is later on, and my first sightings, I think actual sightings when I was like 12 years old. So I'm about 16 years old now. It's spring break. I'm spending the week out at my grandparents' house, and I'm listening to the radio. I still remember it now. KJR radio, late at night, man, at my grandparents. And all of a sudden, I see a shadow on the wall just walk by. There's a shadow. And I thought, what the fuck was that, man? And I turned and looked, and I almost didn't want to, because my grandparents had a full-length glass window on one side of the house, which was on the side that came the shadow was upon and came from. And as I turned to look, I saw something walk by the last part of the window. And at that point, I was on my hands and knees. I'm 16 years old. And I think I'm a badass at that point, you know, in high school, you know. And I was on my hands and knees, on my stomach, crawling around the living room floor to my grandparents' bedroom and opened the door. And my grandfather was already had the window open and had a handgun out, just following it. And didn't say a word. I didn't have to say a word. We all knew, you know, what was what. And then he just watched it walk off. And I didn't want to go back to it. And 16 years old, I wanted to call him Ben, my grandma and grandpa, man. You know? So, man, I just sucked it up. And at that point, we didn't say a word to anybody. We didn't say one word to each other. We all looked at each other. We all knew what it was at that point. And I headed back into the living room to my KJR and listened to the, trying to get so I can go to sleep at that point, man. Knowing that they're out there, man, you know. Jesus. So, you know, knowing that they're watching you, just knowing it, that's creepy, man. But having evidence that they're there, that's even worse, man.
Yeah, well,
that's crazy. That is crazy.
Have you ever, what was the, was there one particular time that you had an encounter and you thought you were dead and that was it?
Yeah. When we were in we called our tree houses, we called them tree forts for a purpose, you know. And I don't know if Ken heard about the story about my cousin and my rock fight with Bigfoot, you know. Who the hell has a rock fight with a Bigfoot? You know, my cousin and me, you know. And so my grandpa helped us build a impenetrable tree fort, so we thought, man, until this, you know, we heard this sound out there that night that we thought was, like I said, sounded like a Harley Davidson motorcycle starting up. We're out of the middle of nowhere. And we're looking at, who the hell's got a motorcycle out here? And then it gets quiet, and my cousin tells me, hey, man, look down below and see what's down there. And I just about get to that hatch, and all of a sudden through that screen door hat, so it was latched, and everything was this hand come through. We're 10 foot up, and this hand came through. You picture your worst horror movie movement moment, and that was it. This hand, a hairy ass arm, come through that screen just as I'm about to look through it, comes up there, and it's reaching, and it's past its elbow, and I'm 10 feet up plus now, and it's reaching around like it's trying to grab me, and I'm screaming like crazy, and I'm trying to back away from it, but my cousin's right there, and so I can't move, and I thought, man, this was, he's going to grab my ass and pull me down through that hatch, man. And about that time, that's what it, about that time, the arm disappears. And my grandpa come running down screaming at him. And it's that close. I mean, it, boom, boom. So, you know, if it were to grab me, what the hell? You know, you hear stories and, you know, myths about taking the children of the tribes and things, you know, and don't go into the woods. You know, that was the first thing my grandparents taught us as kids. Do not go into the woods alone, you know, and so now we know. Now I know
was
why.
That during the day, or is that?
That was at night, man. That was in the evening. Gotcha. That was past dusk. Again, we're out there. It had to be our first or second night. We were out there trying to make it in our new tree fort. Out there, man. I had pre-made peanut butter and brown sugar sandwiches and chocolate milk for the night. My grandma made us some chocolate milk, and we were ready to go. Had the radio going. Then we heard that noise. We shut the radio off. You know, we had silence, except for we could hear it walking through the woods and breathing. And we went, holy shit. You know, and then, like I said, we were 10 foot up because it was a 10 foot ladder up to this tree fort that we built. And so this thing had to have been at least 10 foot tall if it's sticking its entire arm through this hatch, you know. And its arm, man, I mean, its arm looked like it's probably about the size of my legs when they were in good shape, you know. Massive, just massive, covered in hair, man. And again, that was that summer. My 12th year, man.
Now there's a lot of people that when they had encounters or they thought they did, they said they would smell an awful stench. Did you smell anything like that?
Yep. I omitted that when I was talking about can hear him breathing and coming through the woods.
Uh-huh.
You could smell it. Yeah, at the same time.
What did it smell like?
That's when we knew that rancid, man, just horrid, man. A wet dog, man, is a very wet dog is what I could equate it to. You know, and, the dogs have just been out in the water and coming in, and they haven't fully dried off yet. They got, you know, they're shaking and everything. And that was the constant stench. That's all we knew. It was in the area. You know, we didn't have to see it. We didn't have to hear it. You know, we could smell it. We could just sense it sometimes. We didn't even smell it. We just sensed it, that it was there. But, that pungent odor, man, it was bad, man. Bad. So.
You got any questions, Kenny?
Well, yeah, so, you know, that in that area that you guys were, you had the sightings, is that all developed now, or is that still a place that you could go?
Man, part of it is developed, and part of it is not. I have not been up to the property in probably 20 years. When I took all my kids up there and my youngest and showed them, you know, where all the happenings were and everything and things like that. And but on the other end, though, it is not fully developed, and it's still a watershed, Kitsap County watershed. And okay,
so it probably never get
developed. So it had that free access going through there. And where my grandparents' property was, there was nothing up there at all. I mean, and and it's just now recently in the last 10 years started to get developed. And so, yeah, I mean, it was, we were out in the boons at that point, we thought, you know, but we were right down, you know, maybe a half mile down to the bay down there in Gorst. And later on, as my cousin and I, we were on a mission. We were going to find where this thing lived. And we did eventually walk up through, and we found a path off of a main trail. We followed this path back. I mean, it went back into some dense-ass brush. And back there, all of a sudden, it came into like a little clearing where it was all matted down.
Wow.
Like something had made its bedding there. And there were, I mean, a whole bunch of shells, fresh shells from down in the bay. And we were all thought, man, who the heck is dumping shells up here in the middle of nowhere from the bay? And so there were lore that they used to walk basically the same path that they walked to my grandparents' property down into the tide flats down there at Gorst. And that's when turn of the century, there were sightings there and things like that. And so that's even more credibility to where their food chain lied, kind of. Throughout the woods, down into the tide flats down there, you know, where the salmon come through the little streams down there, into the bay down there. I mean, wow, just a plethora of food for them to survive on. So
how far away was that from the tide flats to where you saw those shells?
Half mile.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and that's walking through woods, you know, that way.
Right.
And stuff, because I'll have to have you guys over, and we'll go up and we'll visit the area, man.
Yeah. What's the chances maybe we could go to your grandparents' old house and talk with them and see if they have had any, you know, weird encounters or, you know, any weird happenings?
I was thinking about that after we talked. I was thinking about that same thing because, ironically, after the property sold and then my mother, my grandfather passed, my mother sold the property, the people that bought the property, when I took my son out to show him, you know, I went up and knocked on the door and introduced myself. It was an individual that I used to bowl junior leagues with.
Nice.
When I was bowling 10, 12 years old, man. And so at that point, I never brought up the story.
Right.
I just told him I just brought my son up to show him where my grandfather lived and where I spent the majority of my childhood and things like that. Because, you know, I didn't want to just pop in a booth. Hey, by the way, man, you know, you had any experiences? You know, and I figured I was, but I was thinking, yeah, you know, like, man, this guy ain't allowed back on the property no more, you know. But no, I was thinking about it after we spoke last week. I was like, man, I need to drive by there and see if they still own that property and see how it's changed or if anything changed in the 20 years since I've been up there last. And everything. So,
definitely.
But no, that gives me something to go and I'll go and check that out, man.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Man, we could do a live podcast right from the source, man.
Yes.
Right. And he may have some new stories as well.
So exactly.
To add what you have, you know, that'd be
exactly
awesome.
You know, and the neighbors around it, because I know the neighbors had experiences, because after my grandfather passed and I had the property, well, my mom had the property, but I was in the caretaker of it until they figured out what she was going to do with it. My ex and I had a boa constrictor, and it was about 12 foot. And at the time, we were, you know, they progressed in their meals. And often at the time, we were feeding baby rabbits. And I wasn't really all kosher on this, but That's what the thing. So we bred the rabbits, and we kept them on my grandparents' property. And we lived in Port Orchard, about a quarter mile away from it. My wife and I and my children, my kids at the time, lived in Port Orchard. And we had, it was about, probably about a 10-foot rabbit cage that was divided into three sections. And it had probably quarter inch, I would say closer to half inch thick plywood separating the three sections. And we had, on one side we had the males, on the far other side we had the females, and in the middle we had the baby rabbits. So we always kept them separate. And one night we get a call, or we get a call in the morning from our neighbor lady out there. This is, hey, you know, you're going to want to come and check out the rabbits in the back. I don't know what was going on outside, but there's some squealing that I've never heard the sound of in my life. Wow. Going on back there. And at that point, as soon as she said that, my hair on my arm stood up and curled, you know, and I knew, you know, that something was back and my poor rabbits, you know. And so we get back there. We drop kids off to school. Ronnie and I drop kids off to school, and we get to the property. And on top of the rabbit cage, we had an oak door. It was heavy as hell. It was probably about 60 pounds, and it took the two of us, one on each end, to lift it up and put it on top of the rabbit cage. That way, they weren't going to get out, and the wind wasn't going to blow something, you know. That lid was staying on. And so, first thing we do, we meet the neighbor lady, and she's waiting in the yard for us. And she goes, oh, my God. She goes, I was so scared. She goes, I didn't even want to go up to outside. I didn't know. I said, okay, well, thanks. And so we went back, and the first thing we noticed is the door is nowhere around the cage. And this thing is heavy. And I'm looking around, and this thing is about 30 feet away on top of some blackberry bushes, just sitting on top of the bushes.
Well, like
it was just tossed.
Wow.
Just tossed. You know, just wow. Like there's a piece of cardboard that was covering it, and it just tossed it out of the way. You know, not just set it down 4 or 5 feet away. Which anybody, you or I, would do. We don't want to haul that thing in. But then it was just like it was tossed. And then my because I'm over, I see the door, and I'm walking towards the door, and my wife says, babe, come here. And I get over there, and all the rabbits are gone. We have probably about 4 male, probably about 6 female, and about 10, 15 babies. All gone. There was no blood, there was no fur, there was nothing there. And the boards that separated the three areas were broken, like somebody just took an arm and went right through two pieces of paper. You know, it was broken. Wow. Just like that. Just like a karate chop, you know, it break the boards, right? Just like that. It was just like that. But there was distance in between the boards. You know, like I was saying, probably 3 feet in between each of the boards. And so it had to be a mighty big arm and a mighty long swing, a pendulum, to go through those like that.
So
you think
it was one punch that went through both of them?
Yeah, exactly. One, wow. Just one swipe right through. And at that point, all the rabbits were probably screeching like crazy, screaming for their lives at that point, were all gathered into one little area and just scooped up. Because like I said, we could find no hair, not a tuft of hair anywhere in that cage. No blood, nothing there. So I don't know if they're scarfed whole. Or what the, you know, appetizer or d'oeuvres, you know?
It seems like Bigfoot are carnivores and they eat vegetables and everything, huh?
Yeah, exactly. They adapt to their environment, you know, and just like we eat a cross section of food, you know, for survival. You know, it's what's there during the harvest, you know, and like I said, they survive on what they can in the winter. You know, they hunt down the deer or, you know, or survive off what they can, you know, whether it be food from the tidal flats or something from the gardens, you know, my grandparents' orchards, you know, in the summer times. It's crazy to think that, and, you know, I've lived amongst them, but I lived amongst them, you know, thinking back, because there was nobody up at that end of that, where we were. We were all older folk, you know, except for my cousin and I, who kind of livened things up at the end of the woods up there, you know, and things. So they were very aware of us. Very aware, like nightly aware. And so, yeah.
Has there anyone ever came up missing in the woods that you know of?
No. You know, and again, I've not researched that. And at that point, I've not heard anything. However, we were told, do not go into the woods because people had drilled for wells. And there may be empty wells out there, and you might not ever be found again. So, you know, you mentioned that, and then that story just instantly pops into my head, the warning that my grandparents gave us,
right.
You know, that you might not ever be seen again. Oh, wait, what? You know, you already scared the hell out of us with don't go off the paths because there might be wells, you know, and, you know, and stuff like that. So
and
that's why we were wary, even in our teens, of going off the paths in while we were looking for these things, you know, until I saw one day we were on one of the main paths, and all of a sudden a trail, you just barely see or something had gone through. And I pointed out to my cousin, I said, hey, Al, check this out. He goes, something's in there. And, you know, we both got our 22s, you know, and so at that point, we cock up and load up, and we're, you know, we're one in the chamber. We're ready to go, and we walk in through this dense brush. Actually, we walk through probably about 20 feet of dense brush, walk through, get smacked in the face with brush and trees and everything, and all of a sudden, we walk amongst this little clearing. It's probably about a 12 by 12 little clearing of where it was all matted down. And then right there was a pile of shells. So, and that was where, and at that point we both looked at each other and we says, this, who the hell does this? Because we're still thinking somebody's up there dumping their shells up there.
Right.
But then again, who's going to walk miles in the middle of nowhere to dump these shells?
Right.
You know, it dawns on us after, you know, because we're kids. There is no logic until we start to think about it later on when we get back. Then we're scared shitless, and we didn't dare even want to go back to look at that spot again. And we didn't, you know, and we didn't even tell my grandpa about it. Because I know he'd have wanted to go, man. You son of a bitches, I got you, motherfucker. Throw rocks at me. So.
Now, how about
Did you ever notice any odd silence or anything like that when you were up in the woods to get that uncomfortable feeling before you
heard it? Yeah. You know, because, you know,
birds chirping.
Exactly. That's the first key was birds. It would get quiet because there's always birds, you know, and stuff walking through. You know, and as you're walking through the woods, the birds are, you know, they're alerting the rest of the woods that you're in the area, man. And so, but then it would get quiet, though. You know, the birds would be alert and things, and all of a sudden they'd get quiet. And my cousin goes, oh, that's strange. Because he would point out that it would get quiet, you know, and shit. So, yeah, you know, the things that at the time, you don't really put them all together. But as I was mentioning before that with the oncoming of all these shows and everything that talking about what to look out for and what to do and what the sounds and everything else is, it all makes sense. Everything is like the dots are connected, you know, about the deer. You know, they used to come through and haul the deer into my grandparents' orchards in the winter. My grandparents would put salt lick out in the orchards for the deer. The woods come down and, you know, but, and these things would come down in the winter, falling the deer down. You know, and we wouldn't hear much. Sometimes we wouldn't hear anything at night. We'd get up in the morning and there'd be some blood stains over in the orchards, you know, where they would, you know, my grandpa would kind of know what's going on, but me as a kid didn't know, and he wasn't going to explain to us, you know, that these things are, you know, getting down there and breaking these deer's legs so they can't go anywhere, and that's their meals, you know, and but they would just hang out, I guess, down there and wait for the deer to come down, you know, so, again, adapting to the environment of the need.
Now,
you know, and
now, when I was camping in Mount Hood when I was younger, and you know, I had my encounter with Bigfoot, and I've read stories, and I witnessed this myself out in the woods. I would see odd structures, you know, with like stones and you know, like sticks and stuff,
lean tos and things, and broken trees over where they're not supposed to be broken. And
so you've seen them too,
not knowing anything. I was watching Bear Grylls. Uh-huh. Something. He was up in Canada, doing something up in Canada, and he was coming across these structures that were man-made. That aren't man-made. That these trees are bent over. That can't be bent over like that, and so forth. And like they're warning, stay out. And we would come across these, and we're going, who is doing this?
Right.
This wasn't here yesterday, you know, because. We like I say, we're up there every day looking, and they know we're looking. They're looking at us. They're watching us. So they're warning us, stay out. But it that meant nothing to me, nothing to my cousin, until I started watching these shows. But watching that Bear Grylls, that first, because I was trying to bone up on all this to see what, you know, because these guys are getting into the nitty gritty, you know.
Right.
And Bear Grylls is up there, and I just my. That's the shit I was seeing it on the middle of nowhere. Like he's up in the middle of this nowhere in this Canadian forest and nobody's up there. And they're coming across these structures, you know, and things. And I said, my God, that's exactly what I come across. And these little makeshift lean-to things. And so, yeah, the things that I'm seeing now that are like, habitat, they're normal that you see out there when you come across when you're searching. I had no idea, like I said before, I had no idea what a Bigfoot was when we first saw him. Not until I went to the library the first day of seventh grade class and break and checked it out and saw, oh my God, that's exactly what I saw. You know, it was a learning experience to me, everything I saw, you know, and it's just like it's photographic. You know, it's all there. You know, you mentioned, you know, like when you were camping down there and you would come across these structures in the middle. I imagine they were in the middle of nowhere where people should be either, right?
Yeah, well, we were across. This is before we had when we got camping, the park ranger told us, he says, there was a Bigfoot sighting here. And he was just chatting with us. And I remember me and my cousin walked across his log about a mile and a half across the river, Hood River. And we didn't know what it was. And we'd seen like stakes stuck in the ground. I thought maybe they were some satanic stuff. You know, we were kind of spooked. We didn't know what it was. And we saw a circle around a tree, these spikes in a circle. Walked about, you know, a mile and a half more. And we seen two more. Then we seen stones build as pyramids. And then little down farther, you know, later we saw, like you said, like a tree that was like a small tree that was kind of bent over, and it was, no man did it. It was kind of high and it was, you know, a man ain't strong enough to do that. And I remember we were walking, and this is before we had the encounter with them, and it felt like someone was watching us. And we happened to look up, and you know how like you look and then you see someone's head like go behind a tree? We didn't actually see what it was, but we seen something move back. We turned and we ran like bat out of hell, and we just ran. We didn't even know why we were running. We were just spooked. And, you know, like you say, years later, I was watching some program and they were talking about the Bigfoot structures. And then the next day, we were all saying, you remember my Aunt Terry? She was real loud at wrestling and and Kenny knows her. Yeah. And rest her soul. Yeah. She passed away a few months ago, but I remember she comes running and we're all saying scary Bigfoot stories. And, she comes running and yelling my name, and she had her dog in her hand. She had fell and cut up her knee. She goes, I seen Bigfoot. So we had like three or four campers, and we knew something was wrong. And I mean, we were saying Bigfoot stories, scary stories, but all the grownups says, okay, let's just all, you know, stay in for the night. And then we'd hear these weird screeches and stuff. And, you know, we're all kind of spooked. So the next day, about 3:30 in the afternoon, we're about a half a mile away from our campground, we could see our campground where we were, but we were picking up firewood, and it was me, my sister Jamila, my cousin Jamal. It was oldest to youngest. There was probably about 10 of us kids. I walked towards this bush, and I remember you said this last show, it was like a reddish brown hair, something like that. I looked up, and this thing, I swear, it was probably at least 7-8 foot tall, but his head was hunched over. I didn't see his face. I was like 3 feet away from him. He was coming through the bushes, and he was swatting the bushes away from his face. I looked up.
Yes.
Yeah. I said, oh, hell. I threw my firewood. My cousin Jamal, my sister Jamila seen it. We took off running, and then all the kids start running after us. And I remember there was a stench, too. I mean, we were at literally like 3 feet away. And then we ran and told some friends of the family we thought we saw Bigfoot. And we went back over there, and we didn't see a trace of anything. But, yeah. Oh, sorry. I was kind of passionate. I was reliving the story.
You mentioned about how they, with the hand, swats and the things away from their face. Because I mentioned, I talked about my first sight, and it was coming through these blackberry bushes and woods and things, you know, like that. And that's exactly what it was doing, too.
Really?
Through with his arms up, walking, pushing things away from his face.
Yes. Hey, Pimp, you're breaking
King
up.
Kong.
There we go.
I'm sorry, that's like King Kong walking through
the
jungle, you know. The things were spreading out for it, you know, and it was like that swatting things away from his face.
Yep.
Because it was coming through a path that it had never come through before.
Exactly. That's how this was. And I remember when you mentioned the hair color, it rung a bell in my head, and I was like, wow. I mean, come on now. I mean, I doubt this is a coincidence. I mean, that we never talked about the actions of these two Bigfoot, you know,
No, we've never sat down and really talked about any of our encounters in length.
Yes.
We just known that we've had experiences, and because we always wanted to go out and look for him, man.
Yeah.
And so we still guard our experiences kind of closely, you know, because people, oh, yeah, right, bullshit, you know, you're on the bag. No, man, we were seeing things before things were even known what they were, man, you know. And stuff. So, you know, there was no internet. There was no, I mean, there was nothing, man.
We just had libraries and books.
Exactly, man. You had to go to the index cards to find them too, man. You know, and the kids are listening now. Goes, what's an index card, man? You know. And, yeah, so,
how about you, Kenny?
No, man, exactly.
How about you, Kenny?
You know, he's been abducted, man.
You know, I mean, you guys experiencing this at a younger age, or, you know, it's embedded in you, man. You know, you can't forget, you'll never forget it. So, you know, I hope someday we can all connect and go for a you know, go search out some Bigfoot. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of tripping. I'm kind of tripping how, you know, we kind of told our stories, but how you know they were similar, how they move and all that. It kind of tripped me out. I was like, wow, I like popped a boner thinking about it.
Right. Well, it is because, you know, there is not just one Bigfoot. There's families, you know, because at one point my cousin and I thought it's just one.
Right.
You know. That was our mindset up until my grandpa explained, no, they, you know, they are back. It's a family, you know, and all the, he called it a family, you know, there's a bunch of, because in his day, he had seen juvenile ones, females, males. I mean, they would walk through his yard like it was a freeway at times, he would tell me, you know, when they first moved there. And I think that's why, you know, he lived in one with them, you know, and things. He took care of them. He let them, you know, have their orchard, you know, access to his orchards and things. He always made sure he left food out. And again, Salt Lake in the winter, you know, he took care of things out there, you know. He was a woodsman before, you know, woodsmen were woodsmen, you know.
Wow.
You know, he was John Wayne's half brother. And so he was a man's man.
Hey,
and so.
Hey, Kenny. Hey, Pimp. Tell Kenny about the John Wayne story. About him pulling up to the house.
Please do. All right, man. I got a couple. But this is my first encounter because I never knew who this gentleman was. My grandma told us that my grandpa had a friend who was coming to visit him. So when he came, we were supposed to, me and my cousin were supposed to go out and play outside instead of hanging around the house. And so we're probably 8, 9 years old. And this big old car pulls up, a Cadillac, and the gentleman gets out of the passenger side. He had a driver. And we're looking at each other, me and my cousin look at each other and go, man, that looks like grandpa, you know? And so that was our first thought. We're like, that's strange. Oh, well. And we went back to what we were doing, you know, and so then later on, after they were getting ready to leave, the gentleman walks out and gives us a wave and everything, and gets in the car and leaves. And years later, we'll find out, you know, it comes out that was John Wayne, who would come by and visit my grandpa on his way up to Squim, when he would go up to where he had his yacht up in Squim. And so he would fly up. Yeah, sometimes he would fly up into Seattle and they'd rent a car and he had a driver or he had a buddy. Then they'd go up, Squim, and go fishing. And sometimes, I guess, my grandpa went with him a couple times because my grandpa was an avid fisherman, you know, and this is something I never knew until way later. I mean, I was a teenager before I found out the connection to John Wayne and the family. And so, we just thought, oh, man, hey, that's grandpa's friend. That's pretty cool. You know, he looks like grandpa. But, yeah. So he came up and had a few cocktails. Well, probably more than a few cocktails with my grandpa. And, you know, that's my brush with the Duke, man, right there. So besides Duke blood flowing through his veins, man.
That's a great story. That's awesome.
Hey, speaking of the Duke. Man, speaking of the Duke, Kenny, and yo, Pimp, did you guys know where Titlow is, right? Down here, Titlow Beach or Titlow Park?
Yeah.
Did you guys know that originally that was supposed to be Hollywood?
No.
Yeah. And there's even a plaque down there that used a lot of, I forgot, because I know like Bing Crosby lived in Olympia.
The stars used to hang there.
Yeah. But yeah, down here on Titlow, there's even a plaque there, and I knew this for years, but when you spoke, we were talking about the Duke, it just popped back into my mind. That used to be, that was originally supposed to be Hollywood, but the story was that it was kind of, you know, gloomy and the weather wasn't so hot, so then they moved it to LA. So that was just a little fun fact.
You know, you're probably 100% there. Because, like I said, Bing Crosby, the stars used to hang out. That
would
be kind of getaway hangout, man.
Yep.
And for a while.
Yep, that is. There's
that
a big
wasn't
plan.
Bing from Tacoma?
Yeah, I think he was from Tacoma.
I think he was. Yep. Yeah.
Hey guys, I got an email. I got an email. If you guys want to answer real quick, I got only one this week. Okay, here we go. Old school.
Go ahead, man.
Old school.
You've got mail.
All right. We have one email, and this is from Sherman Drew, sent to murkychronicles@gmail.com. It says, if you all believe in Sasquatch, I mean, if you all believe that Sasquatch exists, do you believe that the Loch Ness Monster exists also? What's your guys' thoughts? Who wants to go first?
Have they proven it doesn't?
No, exactly. I don't think so.
I guarantee you. I guarantee you there's so much unanswered in this world. Traveled to Okanagan up there. They've got a little lake, Aussie, whatever, up there in Canada. Where they got a little nestie of their own up there.
Oh, they do?
And we went up there. Yeah. I forget the name of the lake there. It'll come to me. But I'll research up and I'll let you know for next week, man. We can research that up too, because believe me, man, in my trips in Canada, I was into all of this too, man. We would stop and I'd be always looking for Bigfoot signs, you know, anybody in these, you know, little small towns that we wrestled in. Anybody got any encounters, any stories, you know, and stuff like that, you know, and we'd heard about this one on the lake. So I still remember Rocket Pat Brady and I sitting up on the lake, up on the shore, looking out over the water of this lake. He goes, man, we're going to find it. We're going to make news today, Pip, you know, and all of it. It'll come to me. It'll be about 3 o'clock in the morning tonight. Oh man, that's what it was called, man.
Shoot
was,
us a call.
But
if no Kenny doubt. Ain't abducted from Bigfoot.
That's at all, man. No,
I was gonna say there's a lake over in Vermont area too that's got like a Nessie as well. I forget the name of that one. Is
where at?
You know, Google search that. There's quite a few, man.
Where at, Vermont?
You know, there's so much unexplored underwater.
Would you say Vermont? Would you say Vermont?
Yes, that's for sure.
Would you say Vermont?
What? Yeah, Vermont.
Oh, I didn't know that was like a Loch Ness there or something to that sort.
Yeah.
I think I've heard something like that too, Ken. And this local lake up in Canada, it's like 100 and some miles long. It's like Loch Ness. It's huge. And the same thing, you know, and again, it's got possibility to underwater access in and out to ocean. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, hey, Kenny, since yeah. you know, you're the only one that, you know, haven't had an encounter with Bigfoot yet, but who knows, you know, the day's night's still early. What's your thoughts? What's your thoughts?
On what?
On if Bigfoot exists or not.
Oh, I've definitely got an open mind to it. I hear the passion in your guys' when you tell your stories. You know, I believe in what you're saying. So, I mean, I hope there is, you know, until they prove there isn't, I believe there is one, or more than
that. And to that point, you know, everybody's entitled to their beliefs, you know, but that's why I never, ever went out of my way to tell my encounter story, ever. Because I don't need nobody coming up to, oh, yeah, right. Because all I'm going to do is look at it and go, fuck off. Right. You were fucking there 2 inches away from the thing trying to swallow you by your neck, man. You weren't there watching it walk towards you. You know, so believe what you want to believe. I know what I saw. I know what I experienced. I know what caused me to piss my pants when I was 12 years old, man. You know, and stuff, you know. I know what caused me at 16 years old to crawl on my hands and knees and on my stomach
to my grandparents' house because I was afraid to get up and look to see what was looking at me through the window. You know, I know what caused me to live in fear every night out there, you know. And so it's just like somebody asked me once when I was getting ready to go on a tour with working against Tim Flowers.
Uh-huh.
And I said, man, are you scared? And I was kind of chuckling. I go, dude, man, I face Bigfoot face to face, man. Who the fuck is Tim Flowers, you know? And then I found out who the fuck Tim Flowers was, though.
Right, right. He's a character in himself.
Yes, it is. No, but I never told anybody except for my buddy Chris. And then, you know, he's from California. So he was telling me from his experiences, you know, such as yours, down in Oregon, Mount Hood territory,
uh-huh.
You know. So it's just, you know, like I was saying, you know when you know. When somebody you talk to, you know. I don't have to sit there and jump up and down, bang a gong or a drum and say, hey, he's real, you know.
Right.
I've seen him before, you know. Believe what you want. To me, you know, you'll never convince me that that wasn't Bigfoot standing right in front of me at 7 foot, 8 foot tall, fucking stinky ass, brown ass hair, smell like a dog that just crawled out of the, you know. So, no, I mean, it's real. Now, these other instances, I've met rock tests. Until proven otherwise, man, there's a possibility. I believe it. Same thing like the Oki Nogan, whatever it is up there. Until they prove otherwise, man. But they've had these bizarre sightings. They can't be disclaimed. So, but no. Bigfoot, more and more is coming out. You know, so with the rest of the entities, who knows? Who knows what's going to come? So, and again, man, it's good to have that open mind. Because you know.
Hello? Oh, it looks like he.
He's out.
Oh, there he is. Pimp.
Did we lose him? Hey.
Okay, you're back now.
Hello?
Hey, you're back. All right. You were gotten, but we're starting to run a little short on time now. Do you have one more story you want to share with us before we all give our plugs and shout out and shut this show down?
No, man, I'm going to hang on to them for the future, man.
Okay.
Always leave them wanting more. Always want to leave them more.
All right, Pimp. Well, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
I was going to say, once you give all your plugs and shout outs and all that good stuff and how people can get a hold of you.
Oh, well, man. Just juggalo59@gmail. You know, hit me up. Pacific Wrestling Federation. Can always hit me up there. Hit me up. Let's go find some Bigfoots, man. You know, I got nothing to do but healing up right now. So good to go. I'm not doing any movie shoots until September. Phoenix Rising Productions, man, they're killing it. You know, it's all good for me. You know, life is good, man. Kenny, man, what about you, man?
Well, I got a few places I want to plug and
do it.
You know, just want to plug Emerald Street Kennels for all your kennel dog needs for your cats, dogs, and anything. You know, they do doggy daycare and they do overnight stays. Talk to Vince; he's a good guy. And then you know, I have an upholstery shop, Sweet Little Upholstery, out in Boise, Idaho. Look us up and you know, get some of the best upholstery, custom upholstery done in town.
All right, and
man, did you do tops for convertibles, man?
I do.
Well, then we will be speaking, my friend.
And he does
absolutely.
He does good work. I witness him in his shop. He does good work.
Dude, man, I've seen his work. I you know I've seen it firsthand, and then I continue to see it online. No, man, yeah. He's phenomenal, man.
He
so,
is. He is.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I got a 79 PF Spider 2000. I'm gonna need a top and maybe some new all new upholstery inside. So we will be speaking, my friend.
Absolutely.
All right. I want to give a shout.
All right.
I want to give that a shout good. Out to the host of Tales from the Abyss, Padhu Rojo. He always gives our podcast some love, and he has a very entertaining podcast. And don't forget to check out my Lyrical and Daily Spit podcast on all major platforms. And you can check out Murky Chronicles on all major platforms. And you can go lyricalspit.com. And Pahu Rojo's podcast on all major podcast platforms. And I want to say, gentlemen, it was a pleasure. And I want to say Epstein didn't kill himself. Neither did McAfee. And always remember this. If she has an apple, she has a banana. Thank you for downloading and listening, and please spread the word. Subscribe and follow Murky Chronicles on Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and on most of your favorite podcast platforms. You can get all the show links at lyricalspit.com. Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com.